Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're listening to The Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. So I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving weekend. It's Monday. It's all over. My producer's car broke down. I'm sorry to hear that. You know what, though? I'm going to be honest with everyone here because I'm an honest person, and I admit when I have faults, it kind of cheers me up. You know, it kind of makes me feel better about my life because I had a little fender bender, had some damage done to my car. You know, woe is me. The whole world's falling in on poor Chad. And then Jack's like, oh, man, woke up on Thanksgiving, couldn't get my car, $400, battery, alternate. And I'm like, it sucks. My first thing is, wow, man, I feel you. I've been there. That's terrible. And then my second thing is, maybe it happens to other people too, Chad. The dark cloud doesn't follow you exclusively. You know, other people have things, you know, quote unquote, tragedies in their life. And then it makes you realize, I don't have it so bad. I should stop whining. You know, I was just telling my producer also, Sunday I was planning on going hunting. I went hunting Friday. Didn't see anything. Very slow day. Whatever the situation was, the days kind of blur together now unless some event happens. Oh, I saw a giant turkey Friday. That's what happened. I'll get back to that because we're going to do some recipes today, and I want to talk to you about turkey, wild turkey. And you know, if you don't have access to wild turkey, store bought turkey. But so I hunted Friday. Wanted to hunt Saturday and Sunday. Had this whole 3 days planned out. Had a beautiful Thanksgiving, hunted Friday, and then Saturday something came up, and my daughter got sick Sunday. So I was sneaking out of the house Sunday morning, and I heard from her bedroom, Daddy, are you going hunting today? And I was like, yeah, are you feeling okay? She goes, oh, I thought we could get our Christmas tree. What kind of father goes hunting when their sick daughter says that? So I spent the day getting the Christmas decorations together and all that. But the point of this is my life's not so bad. You know, after the show today, I'm off till Friday. I'm going to go upstate, do some late season rifle hunting. Things are going to be pretty good. And I started thinking about, you know, the show and what I should do this week. And my initial thought was, you know, based on my bitterness and anger, I was going to go after the SAFE Act again. We haven't done a show on the unconstitutional New York SAFE Act in a while, and I thought maybe an update show on that. And so I started researching, you know, where we are kind of with the SAFE Act here in New York State, and I realized it's bigger than me spending, you know, 45 minutes or an hour. So that show's coming, and we're going to kind of review how the SAFE Act is doing, you know, over a year later and where we are with you know, that unconstitutional act that took away my Second Amendment. I know it didn't take away your Second Amendment. You still have a bolt action. But we'll update it and see where we are with that. So I thought, you know what? It's been a while. The show, We're the Wild Game Domain. We haven't done any recipes. It's been a while since we focused solely on that. And I thought, you know, let's get a good turkey recipe together. I know it's after Thanksgiving, but yeah, maybe you're very happy with your Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe you're not so happy. Oh, man, I dried the turkey out. It was the worst. So we're going to discuss a wild turkey recipe first thing here today. And, you know, so I was in my tree stand Friday, and nothing was going on. It was very slow. I think we're in the lull now after the rut. Or I think they've you know, found their does and they're kind of laid down. It'll pick back up soon here. At a minimum, if the rut's over, there's always that smaller second rut where the deer comes back, the does come back into estrus, and you can reference my show from, I guess, 2 weeks ago. But they come back into their estrus cycle, and the bucks will start moving again. And then even after that, I enjoyed a late season archery, rifle, muzzle loading, because then you're kind of focused. You're focusing on food sources. The deer are going to be depleted. They just went through their breeding cycle. The winter is bearing down on them, and they are going to find that late season food, and that's where you got to hunt. You got to get on those food sources, and I really enjoy those hunts. And even in January, you know, it's great. They're starting to shed their antlers. I hear a lot of guys say, "Oh, I don't like to hunt in January. I shot this monster buck a couple of years ago, and as he fell down, both his antlers cracked." Who cares? You shot a trophy. You shot a beautiful. You harvested a beautiful chunk of venison at the end of the day. So I love being in the woods in the late season hunts. There's fewer guys out there. The weather tends to be a little more of a challenge. So I'm getting excited about the late season hunts here. But I was in my tree stand Friday, and if I remember correctly, it was cold. You know, it was kind of, the wind was whipping. It was less than a perfect day for hunting. I mean, really cold for Long Island. And I don't know, finally at about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, something like that, that's the witching hour. That's when the deer really start moving, getting ready to feed or move about. I heard this crunch behind me, and I knew it was a deer. I said, "Here we go." So, you know, my tree stand is situated in this spruce, this giant spruce that I cut away the front of the spruce, and I really have no shooting lanes behind me. It's all thick vegetation back there, deadfall. And so I stood up, and what's great is when I have deer approaching me, which they normally do from behind my tree stand, I hear them coming because, you know, again, the vegetation is so thick back there. I have time to react, and I know I could stand up and get ready, grab my bow, do everything I have to do without being seen. So, you know, I stood up pretty casually, kind of was leaning off to my left, trying to see what was going on back there. And I saw this figure move kind of, you know, through just on the edge of my sight line. And it was big, and it was kind of black through all the vegetation I was looking through. And I said, "Oh, all right, here we go. This is a deer." It was big. And I turned around, and now I'm looking, and I'm saying, "All right, don't walk that way. You got to turn left." And I'm kind of picking it up behind the deadfall as it moves. You know, I'd take two or three steps and then stop, and I would lose it, or I'd pick up a part of it. And then it cleared. It kind of got into this little bit of a clearing, and I said, "Holy cow, that's not even a deer. It's a turkey." The biggest turkey I've ever seen, including, and I only turkey hunt in the spring, generally upstate, but I see plenty of turkey out on Long Island in the fall. They walk right under my tree stand. This thing was humongous. Big male tom, gobbler, I don't know, had a nine inch beard on it. Huge turkey, just monstrous. And then I noticed behind it there were two hens following it, and it was funny because they just looked like pheasant compared to the size of this turkey, even smaller than pheasant. It's like two small little birds kind of trailing behind this monster, and I thought to myself, that's a turkey I would shoot. I would blow a day of deer hunting to shoot a turkey like that if it got into range, and it never did. I moved at one point. They're very alert animals, and I think it didn't get spooked, but it sensed something was in the tree, and it kind of meandered off to the right away from me. But I sat back down and I thought, wow, you know, just had Thanksgiving dinner. I'm seeing all these wild turkeys. Let's look at your old turkey recipes. And if you've listened to past shows, you know, first of all, you know my mantra. If you kill it, you better eat it. Don't kill it if you're not going to eat it. Wild turkey is not one of my favorite meats to prepare. It's kind of gamey. It's a lot different than that butterball you had growing up as a kid. It's very tough meat, dark meat. So when I get a turkey, when I'm lucky enough to harvest a turkey, I tend to grind all the meat. I'll strip the bones clean, and I'll just grind it all up and use it for turkey burgers, turkey meatballs, meatloaf, things like that. I'll even make turkey chili. I think it's excellent with that kind of stuff. But there's one way that I will prepare wild turkey that I could actually, and we'll call it whole, is by poaching it. And, you know, a perfectly poached turkey breast is just, it's moist, it's tender, it's delicious, it's flavorful. And it's truthfully very, very easy to make a beautifully poached breast. There's a few tricks to it, you know, you need to know, and we're going to go through those, and they're very simple. So if you, and the reason I say poaching, you know, it's a wet cooking method. It's a moist cooking method. It's going to maintain the moisture. So especially in a wild turkey, but this would work for a store-bought turkey too. If you're having troubles in your oven, you dried out the turkey, try poaching it next time. You'll be surprised at how delicious it is. First thing is, the tricks to this. First thing you want to do is start with your meat at room temperature. Always bring the turkey out. Let it come to room temperature. You know, you got to take it out of the fridge a good 30 minutes, a wild turkey breast. Take it out, you know, 30 minutes before you want to do it. You want to do a lot of salting on that breast, too. So that's the second tip. I call it a quick cure, if you will. Heavily salt the breast on both sides. After you take it out, so take it out of the fridge, put it on a pan or something, a roasting pan, and salt it really heavily. When you think you're done salting it, right, 9 times out of 10, you're not. Put more on. You'll be shocked at how much salt. I, you know, without knowing the size of the breast, just go heavily. Make sure it's covered in salt completely. The third part of this to really have success with a poached turkey breast is to use good broth. You know, make your own broth if you can. If you got a wild turkey, you better be making your own broth. It's delicious. It's the way to go. And you got these giant turkey wings to use to make the broth, which we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, get your hands on a good chicken or turkey broth when you're doing the poaching. It's gonna give you all the success you need. And here's the last thing, and this is the most important thing. I know everyone's in a rush these days. You know, you wanna get it done. You wanna get it cooked and on the table. I get it. Take your time and never let the broth even come to a simmer. You don't even want to see a bubble in there. You want to just kind of steam this turkey breast. You know, 150 to 160 degrees, somewhere in there, 165 degrees. That broth should never get even close to a boil or a simmer. If you do, if it happens, you're going to dry out the meat, especially wild turkey, very, very lean to begin with. So you go out, you harvest your turkey, everything's great, you clean up your turkey, you can listen to old shows, figure out how to do that. But you got these two giant turkey wings, right? What are we going to do with those? That's how we're going to make our broth that we need to poach the turkey in. So you're going to need the turkey wings, about a tablespoon of, maybe a little more, 2 tablespoons of a nice olive oil, salt, about 2 quarts of water, 2 bay leaves. What else you want to put in there? Some peppercorns, maybe some cracked black peppercorns. Even some white peppercorns are nice. About a tablespoon or maybe a little less, half a tablespoon of thyme. How about some dried sage? You know, fresh herbs, whatever you like in there. Put in whatever you want. I like the typical poultry mix there. Thyme, sage, you know, things of that nature. Rosemary, very nice. You're going to need 1 cup of chopped onions, whatever kind of onion you like. I like, you know, a nice Spanish onion. 1/2 cup of carrots and 1/2 cup of chopped celery. All right. So you're going to preheat the oven to 425 degrees, really hot oven, even hotter, maybe 450 if you're worried about your oven. Get it nice and hot. You can't worry about scorching these wings. We want to extract all the flavor from. So take the wings and rub them with the olive oil and salt and put them in I like to use cast iron for this. I have a little cast iron pan. I'll squeeze them into the cast iron pan, frying pan. But any kind of pan will work. And throw it in the oven and brown them out really nice. A big turkey wing is going to take at least 40, 45 minutes, maybe even, you know, up to an hour of roasting. And what you're doing, you're just drying out these wings, man. You're extracting all that beautiful flavor, all the fat, all the natural flavor from the turkey into the pan. put the roasted wings in a pot with all the other ingredients for the broth, right? So your peppercorns, your thyme, everything, you know, the onions, and bring it to a simmer. And simmer this gently until that dried out meat on the wings starts to fall away from the bones. And, you know, probably 2 hours this is going to take of simmering in your kitchen. Maybe even longer. You know, if you're using probably a domestic turkey you guys buy at the store, it'll take, you know, 2 hours. A wild turkey may take even longer. So just let it go until you see that meat become really tender again, falling off the bones of the wings. And that meat is good meat. You could pick that off, eat that. You could put some of it in the gravy. I use that meat. It's awesome. And that's your broth. Cook it for 2 hours through. You strain everything out. You let it cool. You're going to see when you use wild turkey wings, there's even though the wings, there's very little fat to skim. Most of the time, I just leave that fat in for the poaching of the turkey. It's pretty simple. And if you have to, though, you let the stock, let the broth cool, and then you could skim any fat that forms on the surface. And now you're ready to poach your breast. It's real easy at this point. Wow, look at the time, Jack. I said to Jack when we got here, man, we got to do recipes. You know, I haven't done recipes in a while. I'm going to get through like 4 or 5 recipes. No, we're not. It's already 19 minutes after the hour here in Brooklyn. All right, so what we're going to do here, let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Chad Pagano. All right, here we go. Let's speed this up because guess what? That was the hard part. You made this beautiful broth, and that's going to assure all your success now that you're ready to poach your breast. So you remember, you had the breast out, room temperature. We salted it up nice. And here we go. We're going to submerge it right in that broth. You're gonna make sure it's covered. You know, you should have enough broth. We use 2 quarts of water there to make that broth for an average wild turkey. If you're using a big store-bought turkey, I guess you gotta, you know, adjust. You could always, it's very flavorful broth, so you could always add a little bit of water because you gotta make sure the the broth covers the turkey. The turkey is completely covered by the broth. And you're going to put it on, you know, a nice low flame, lowest setting you have, and you're going to cover the pot. And you're just going to let that breast cook in that hot broth for I don't know, 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes, depending on the size, you know, up to an hour if you're using a full breast of turkey. And remember, please, the big thing here, don't let that water simmer. You got to check it. Make sure you get the temperature adjusted, 165 degrees. You know, 150 to 165 is as hot as we want that water to get. So it's not even close to the boil point. And if you stay in that ballpark, I promise the turkey, it just won't overcook. It's impossible. It can't happen in all that liquid. And now you're just standing around having a bourbon. You might as well make the gravy, right? We need some gravy for our turkey. Very, very simple gravy to make. You're going to need some butter, let's say 3 tablespoons of butter, equal amounts of flour. So 3 tablespoons butter, 3 tablespoons flour, about 1/2 cup of sherry. You're going to use 1 to 1.5 cups of that broth that you already made that you're poaching in. 1 tablespoon of any kind of like steak sauce you like, just to put a little twist on it. Salt and pepper you're going to use to taste, to finish off the sauce. It's really, really simple. So you're going to heat the butter in a small pot. Just let it melt. Don't separate the butter. Nice medium heat. Once it's all melted, you're going to slowly work the flour in with a whisk and whisk it really, mix it really well. Cook this, and it's going to thicken up, you know, so cook this and stir, you know, whisking the whole time until it starts to smell a little nutty. You know, you're kind of browning it. It'll turn like a nice light amber brown color. The flour itself will be getting toasty, but the milk solids in the butter will start to brown really nicely. And that should be about 10 minutes as you're working it. Once that happens, you got that nice amber brown. Stir in the sherry. The sherry's going to be cool, right? It's sitting on the side, so it's gonna seize kind of everything in your pot. Just keep going and add a cup of that hot broth at that point. Again, just working the whisk. Adding, just drizzling in that hot broth right out of your poaching pot, you know, and what's going to happen, it's going to start to loosen up, and then it's going to start to thicken really nice. You know, it's going to kind of look like melted ice cream kind of in there boiling away. At that point, I kind of take it off the heat. I add a few splashes of any kind of steak sauce you like, even a little hot sauce if you're getting crazy. And now you got to taste it in salt and pepper, right? A little bit of pepper, probably a lot of salt at this point. And you have your beautiful gravy made. Your turkey breast is done now. You take that out. You let it drain a little bit. You let it rest for a good 20 minutes, half hour, just sitting there at room temperature. You slice the breast, finish it with a little bit of that gravy. You know, you're gonna love it. I even take a little bit of the broth and I put it over the meat as I'm slicing it just to make sure it stays nice and moist. And you're gonna love it. You're gonna love the color of it. You know, it's this beautiful, I don't know what color, pink, I want to say. You know, it's like a blush color throughout the meat from the poaching process. And it's deliciously moist. All the flavors are going to translate and come through. And put a lot of that gravy on there, serve that with some nice bread, you know, and you can make it your Thanksgiving dinner, all the fixings, mashed potatoes, all that business. All right, now I'm going to try. I was sitting here thinking I'm going to wimp out and say goodbye to you, but you know what? I'm going to go over a little bit here. I never go over. I always stay. I'm always on time. I'm a professional. Stay on time. So we're going to go over a little bit because I'm really excited. I saved the best recipe for last. And this recipe is a real treat for me. It's first of all, anytime I could get my hands on classic ossobuco, I love it, you know, but it's a great way to use the, you know, the shank of a wild game animal. And so, you know, ossobuco, I guess if you're not familiar with it, traditionally is a braised veal shank. It's got a tomato sauce and, I don't know, typically served with risotto or polenta sometimes. It's just nothing better than it. You know, but you need the shank of a large animal. You know, little lamb shanks don't cut it when you're making. You know, you need a big veal shank when you're making real ossobuco. So you know, what wild game animals? You know, a big deer will work. You know, you're a nice mature doe, big buck. They'll work. It'll be a little small, the ossobuco cuts from the shank, but it works. A buddy of mine, I was lucky enough, gave me an elk shank last year, and I froze the whole shank, and then I used it to make elk ossobuco, and it was delicious. Bear is another one. All you New Jersey guys out there slaughtering the bears this year, I heard you're having a great season. This is the perfect method. Ossobuco is the perfect recipe to apply to that bear. Use that bear shank, and you'll love it. And you know what? The thing about the bear, I've had it. I've had bear ossobuco. It tastes like, it's kind of weird, but bear gets this really bad rap. And I know a lot of your bear you're hunting is eating garbage and stuff like that. Listen, if it's eating the right thing, you're eating a really nice wild bear. It's almost got like this, it's a cross between pork and beef in a way. It's almost perfect for ossobuco. Making the ossobuco is pretty easy. People are intimidated by it, but basically you're going to get these beautiful shanks from whatever animal you want to use. And you want to dust the shanks in some flour. I use a nice soft flour, a cake flour, a pastry flour. And then you're going to brown it in some olive oil. Again, that cast iron pan comes in handy for this. You want to get it nice. You want to kind of sear it and brown it. And you want to make sure you get that nice, you want to make sure you get the shanks really, really nice and nice and brown, nice and dark. They should almost be burnt on the outside. And you want to use nice cuts on the shank, nice 4-inch cross cut on your shanks, 4 inches long. And you're going to brown them off really, really nice and take them out of the pan. And at that point, you're going to work in your vegetables. So use some onion, some carrots, some celery. You're going to mix all that in and saute it right in that same pot. The oil, the fat from the shanks, the bear shank, the elk shank, doesn't matter. Put some mushrooms in there. I like porcini mushrooms with my ossobuco. And you want to saute them until slightly brown around the edges. Sprinkle, get some salt in there as they're sauteing. At that point, you're going to want to use some white wine, probably, I don't know, a cup of white wine in there to kind of deglaze the vegetables, deglaze the pan. And you're going to kind of scrape, use a wood spoon and scrape the bottom as this white wine's boiling out. You want to get all those, brown bits off the bottom of the pot. At that point, you're going to add some stock. You know, if you're lucky enough to have game stock, great. Any kind, maybe that turkey stock. I would even use that if you have that laying around. But beef stock will work. Chicken stock, any kind of stock will work at this point. You're going to want to use about, a cup. Equal the wine. One cup of wine, one cup of stock. When I make this, I just wing it. I'm in there drinking bourbon, throwing together some ossobuco. So have some fun with it. But about a cup of stock in there. At that point, you're going to add a can of crushed tomatoes. I don't know, 28-ounce can, I think is that standard, that big can. 28-ounce can of tomatoes. Put in some oregano, thyme. I like lemon zest, a little trick. Maybe, a half a lemon zest in there. I love the bay leaves. And bring that whole thing to a simmer. At this point, it's simmering. Put the shanks back in. Kind of work them in there. And now it's just time to let it cook until tender again in this beautifully flavored liquid. Cover the pot, and I like to finish it in the oven. 350 degree oven, 325 degree oven, and you're going to let it cook in the oven about, ready for this, 2 to 4 hours. Really, depending on the size of the shank. If you have a big 4-inch shank, nice thick, let it go 4 hours. If you're using a venison, a deer shank, last 2 hours, they're going to be a little smaller. And then in the meantime, that's in the oven. You could wait, have a drink, make your risotto, your polenta, even if you don't want to go through all that, get some nice artisan bread, some nice sourdough bread. oh man, the gravy and the juice from those from the ossobuco itself, beautiful. You could serve it over anything. I think you'll love it. And it's that easy. People get intimidated by ossobuco. It's really that easy. Flour it up, brown it, make your flavorful liquid, get it back in there, and you'll have these vegetables beautifully flavored. And you have a great dish there. So I hope that motivates you to get out there and try some different things. Listen, if you're not a hunter, go to your butcher and buy a veal shank. You know, tell them to cut it for ossobuco, about 4 inches each shank, about each ossobuco, each cut about 4 inches. Use anything for ossobuco. You'll love it. The marrow from the bone is going to bleed into that liquid, making delicious flavor. It's really hard to go wrong. People say, you know, ossobuco, as long as you cook it slow and long, you're probably going to have success on some levels. All right, I went over a few minutes, but here we are, the end of the show, and that's unfortunately all the time we have for this week. I want to thank my man Jack again for producing and engineering today's show. You can find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. And remember, this is the most important part. I'll see you next week. But don't forget, if you kill it, you better eat it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.